It's time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
Always something to learn.
The more real and truthful you can get with yourself, the happier you're going to be.
Nothing happens in a comfort zone.
There are no set rules on how to attain success and to feel fulfilled.
Each one of us are born with a purpose.
For me, I knew there was something bigger.
You don't conquer the mountain, you conquer yourself.
I'm Crystal Bauer, wellness expert and entrepreneur. Each week, I'm speaking with incredible individuals, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast. Now for a quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are purely the opinions of the authors. They are not meant to be medical advice or treatment recommendations. They are for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your healthcare provider when you have any questions regarding your specific health, any changes to diet and exercise, and any medical conditions.
I'm so excited for today's guest. We have Dustin Harder here. He's the host and creator of the original vegan travel culinary series, The Vegan Roadie, and he's also the weekly podcast host of Keep On Cooking. Dustin is a vegan chef, a cooking instructor, and the culinary director for Arden's Garden in Atlanta. He's been featured in publications such as Eating Well, Vegan Lifestyle Magazine, Vegetarian Times, and more. He's the author of 3 cookbooks, Epic Vegan Quick and Easy, Epic Vegan, and the Simply Vegan Cookbook. The Simply Vegan Cookbook has been added to Forbes' list of best vegan cookbooks. Dustin's also competed on Food Network's Girl Scout Cookie Championship, showcasing vegan baking paired with Girl Scout cookies in February of 2020. His new book, Epic Vegan Quick and Easy, is available for pre-order and will be available everywhere on May 4th, 2021. Before we jump into this incredible episode, I want to remind you that you have access to my free course to help you reach your ultimate potential. Go to my website, www.livegreatly.co, to go ahead and get started with that. And also, if you're thinking about starting a podcast or if you already have a podcast, I have a list of the top 10 ways to land your top guests. So feel free to DM me on Instagram and I will send that over to you. My Instagram handle is @livegreatly_co. So let's jump into the conversation today. I am so excited to get some really fun tips to make vegan cooking and plant-based eating enjoyable and fun. So let's welcome Dustin to the show. So Dustin, thanks so much for being on today. I'm excited to talk to you about all things vegan.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited too.
Yeah, my pleasure. So I want to hear your story about why you got into being vegan, plant-based eating, cooking, obviously, and kind of where that all started.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I went vegan in 2009. At first it was for health reasons. And now it's for all the reasons, animals, the environment, everything. And when I first did it, I kind of just started cooking a lot. I got really excited about veganizing things I thought I could never have again and making healthier versions of things I thought I could never have again. So a healthier pizza, a healthier mac and cheese, or just, you know, a mac and cheese without any animal products in it, or pizza without any animal products on it. And that was where it all sort of, the passion sort of ignited for me. And my background is in theater. And I was working on a Broadway show in 2012. And when that closed, I knew I was going on the road in about like 8 months. And I had a little window there and I wanted a little theater break. So I went to culinary school. But in the middle of that, I was kind of like, why am I here? What am I doing here? What am I going to do with this? And I had the light bulb moment to sort of be like, there's not a plant-based version of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And that's when the Vegan Roadie was born. I decided if I was going to go on the road with a show that coming fall, I was like, well, I'm going to make the most use out of my time as I can since I've been on the road a bunch before. And the Vegan Roadie came about.
Which is incredible because you're combining like travel, which is one of my favorite things, and amazing food.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Did you then have someone already in place as far as like the videographer, and or was that like a whole nother thing to be able to, I mean, I guess put together a show? Like if you have a background in theater, you probably know some of that. But
well, so I would like to think my brain moves a little bit in a producer fashion. So in my brain, I was certainly putting it together. And it evolved, of course, as we filmed. We did 3 seasons. And if I skipped over it too quickly for everyone listening, it is exactly what I said. It's the plant-based version of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. So we traveled around, we went to plant-based restaurants and shared it for the masses to make vegan eating more accessible, right? But I did have a friend, Drew, shout out to Drew, Drew Andrews, he directed the first two seasons and he did all the video work for it and the editing, and he helped me out with it. It's one of those things where I started going in the universe, it was like falling into place, you know, because then season two, I did a partnership with Field Roast and they gave me a van with my logo on it and we drove around the country. So like, it felt really, really great. And like, I was being lifted up, and again, the universe just falling into place. In season three, we went to Italy and filmed in Italy. And Drew was kind of like, Drew's not vegan, and he had a great time doing it. He loved the vegan food, but he's like, I don't know if I can do nothing. It's a lot of work. We did crowdfunding campaigns for them all as well. But at that point I had another cameraman who was interested, Adam Petito, amazing, amazing work from him as well. So he came and he filmed it. And so again, it was just when the pieces align. I'm sure you've had lots of things happen in your life where like bits and pieces start to take shape and you either take it and you run with it or you kind of drop it, right? And for all these pieces, I took them and I ran as fast as I could with them.
That's awesome. I love that you were kind of traveling around exploring to make eating vegan fun. And I, for me, like my personal journey, I've tried a lot of things with diet. Maybe part of that sure. is being in the wellness world. And I've learned all these different things, and I was in functional medicine. So I always had people coming to me, asking me questions about this diet and that diet and this new diet. But my journey kind of with wanting to eat vegan started after I got trained in Reiki. And I just like, I don't know, I was becoming more spiritual, and I started to feel actually really, really guilty and bad about eating animals. So sure. That was my, gosh, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago. And I dabbled in it, I guess I would say, where I eat now a lot of plant-based cooking. I started eating meat again. I was like pescatarian for a while after that. And now like I'll have, you know, some organic chicken or something here and there, some fish here and there. But I'd say like 90% of what I do is plant-based, lots sure. of vegan cooking. So one thing I personally struggled with was finding, I guess, protein sources that I felt like could sustain me that I really liked. Cause I was like beans. I would do beans. I would mm-hmm. do nuts, but I never really got into like tofu or tempeh.
Sure.
All that. So I'm hoping you can like educate me and my audience about how to get enough protein if mm-hmm. you are vegan.
Can you tell me in your definition, what would be enough protein then? Like, what do you think? Like, how much do we need?
That's a whole nother thing. I think it's probably very individualized, but like I'm extremely active. Like I run every day, and I sure. just like, I wasn't getting enough each meal because I wasn't doing all of those like hefty protein plant-based things. It was, again, like my main source was like beans and
right.
and nuts, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I turn to tofu and tempeh and seitan. I love all of those things. But then I also feel there's days when, you know, I'm not having those things and I'm still satiated and able to keep going by just eating whole foods, whole plant-based foods. So the beans, the grains, the quinoas, all those things like that, right? I don't have any like specific examples I can really think of, unfortunately, but I do feel... It's like you're saying, though, to me, it's a very individual experience, I think, because I know when I'm doing like an intense workout program and I'm like, okay, I'm going to hit these macros and I'm going to do this. I go in and the protein's always like some astronomical number, right? If I'm working with somebody who's working on all of those numbers with me. And I usually say, hey, I'm vegan. I'm going to drop this down just a notch, right? I'm still able to meet a high number. But I find that I get maximum results even without hitting those super high numbers. So that's why I ask you, what do we think like the appropriate amount is? Because I think it differs for everyone. And I think we're all kind of, I think a lot of us are getting it in more places than we even might know, you know, even when I'm eating vegetables, there's bits and pieces of protein here and there and different stuff like that. So I always sort of feel, pretty good about my intake as long as it's on a whole food plant-based level.
Yeah, no, that's, I think that's really great advice. And I, you know, when I was practicing too, we had a nutritionist that worked with us. So I would be like, okay, if you're vegan, let's talk with our nutritionist, because I wanted to make sure people weren't missing things. And then that's where that's like my healthcare background. Like, you know, you're talking about, are you getting enough iron? Are you getting enough of the B vitamins? You know, all that stuff. And I definitely think it can be done. But if you aren't, then, you know, you need to talk with somebody about supplementing. And just, I think if you are making a change like that, where you're restricting food groups, it makes sense to have someone who has that expertise, like a nutritionist or healthcare provider, to guide you. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Sure. I agree with that. I also think there's ways now. The cool thing is it's 2021 and we have all these resources, right? So you can either find a reasonable priced nutritionist who might be able to help you a certain way, maybe not to the extent where you would really toss down tons of money, or you can get on Google and start looking up whole food plant-based proteins and find out what's coming your way. Or you can get on MyFitnessPal and log a bunch of different foods in and look at the macros to really see how much you're getting. And that's sort of when I get impressed too, because I'll put in like a salad for the day and really put in like everything I'm having. And then I'm like, oh, these chickpeas like actually totally have me covered, you know? So, but again, it is a lot of beans, like you talk about though, you know, legumes and such that are helping in the protein area. But I do think we have ways now to sort of be self-sufficient if we don't have the funds to hire somebody, maybe. I think it's just having the sort of moment to be like, oh, wait, I have this at my fingertips. Like if I do enough, having the patience to sort of search through it a little bit, maybe, and find some answers. And, you know, you can't always believe the first thing you read. So comparing and trial and error and stuff like that, and seeing where things sort of add up. But I think that's where some people really excel at. They take information and they go, oh, I can find this, I can do this. And other people are like, no, I just want you to hand it to me, which I get it. I can be on both sides of that. So I totally get it, right? But sometimes you don't have the funds to have somebody just hand you the information. So we're lucky to have things like the internet, MyFitnessPal, Google, all that stuff like that to help us out these days, I think.
Yeah, so true. I mean, there's so many wonderful resources out there. And what I would just say to everybody listening is just make sure to talk to your healthcare provider and let them know, because they're, you know, when you get your annual physical or whatever it is you're doing, they likely will add on some things knowing your, you know, your background, and they might be able to give you some tips too. One thing I would love to chat with you about too is how to make plant-based eating fun. And I have a feeling you're really, really good at that. That's like your thing.
Yes!
So how can you make it fun? And I've talked with people, it's like, what, eat, like not eating meat, that's like a scary thing ever for them. So what do you think?
To those people, I kind of want to be like, tell me what you ate yesterday. I want to see how much of it was, and I know some of it, it'll be a lot of meat products, but I know there would be a handful where it would be like, they would tell me, I'd be like, you almost had a completely vegan day. Like, you know, I think a lot of people are eating more vegan than they actually realize, right? And some people too, when they think of it, they get so stressed out, like you're taking things away from me. And it's like, well, but wait a minute, let's talk about adding things in, maybe foods you hadn't thought about before, right? Or let's talk about like playing with foods in a different way you haven't before, making protein heavy sauces out of like beans, right? We've talked about beans, or making smooth, creamy sauces, decadent sauces that you know and love, like an Alfredo sauce out of cashews, where you're cutting all the cholesterol out of it or something, right? So there's these different options you kind of get that allow you to have fun with it and also sort of be amazed at what you're doing. It's really cool to get into vegan cookbooks and dig in and see what these authors are doing to help educate people, because it also allows you sort of to take on the knowledge to play with your food. And that's what I always, always stress to people in all of my cookbooks and in my podcast. Play with your food. Play with your food. If you make a recipe and you're like, well, I liked everything except that one part, guess what? You are your chef of your own kitchen. Like, you're a kitchen warrior in your own home. Like, take out the things you don't like in something and try the things you do until it tastes the way you want it to taste. Or you might discover something brand new. You know, there's just lots of different ways to play with things. And I think that's been actually the fun in vegan cuisine with a lot of cookbooks and cookbook authors and chefs in the vegan world, is that they're like, oh, well, we're taking out the traditional way, so why don't we step outside of the box completely and play a little bit with this, right? And that's where the fun is in it to me. It's just like really just like playing in the sandbox and having the best time that you can and not being worried so much about the end result. If it doesn't taste good, then you try again, or you're like, no, that's terrible, I'm not doing that again. It's all sort of trial and error, right? But there's things like new ingredients. I want people to not be scared of them. I kind of always compare it to, like, we didn't know really what flour was until, you know, we made cookies with grandma, and then we knew what flour was, you know? So it could be the same way with nutritional yeast or miso, that sort of thing, a couple ingredients you find heavily in plant-based cooking. And after you get to learn about it a little more and play with it, you're going to have a good time.
Yeah, I love miso. I absolutely love it.
It's the best!
Oh my gosh. I've been making a miso vegan butter.
Yes.
It is so good. And my kids are obsessed with it.
You have got to send me that recipe, because that sounds amazing.
In Dr. Andrew Weil's book, you know, because I was mentioning before, you know, so I have his like healthy eating. I can't remember the name of it. But it was roasted broccoli with this like lemon miso butter, vegan butter. And
writing my kids it down.
Are asking for this, like, no joke.
I love it.
Broccoli, yay.
Good. See, that's great too. I think we're in a new world too, where, you know, parents used to have such a hard time having their kids eat vegetables, and something like miso, it's good for your gut health. It's got so many health benefits to it. And now you're adding it to broccoli. What? You're getting them to eat their broccoli. Plus then this miso butter is giving another added health benefit. So you kind of find those things out. You just have to try though, right?
Yes, I totally agree. And there's a popcorn that I love too that has the nutritional yeast on it, and it tastes like popcorn. It's a vegan
popcorn. I love that.
Popcorn. And I'm like, that's like a special treat when you're watching a movie. So I think it's this idea that, you know, vegan food will taste weird or it's too healthy. Like, I hear that, like, ooh, like healthier stuff doesn't taste good. And I think that's wrong. I mean, I think so much vegan food can taste amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I do think that sort of outlook rightfully came about, you know, before like 10 years ago, like the early 2000s and the 90s. I mean, even the 80s and the 70s, like some of it didn't taste great and some of it was weird. And the products that were lucky enough to get themselves out on the market were still like trying to figure it out, right? Now we've got things like Beyond Burger and Impossible Burger that are sort of blowing people away, where Burger King's catching on and they're putting it on their Whopper. Not that I'm telling people to go out and eat Whoppers, but guess what? If you're gonna, that is gonna be a healthier option to the actual Whopper. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. It's all sort of taking that step in the right direction and creating fun ways to use the food, and in a mainstream way that's going to excite maybe, you know, someone sitting in the middle of the country who just doesn't have much access to vegan food, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really come a long way. So I can understand where that idea of like it tasting weird and being weird came from, but I think we're starting to break away from it just a little bit more and a little bit more as time goes by.
Yeah, no, I think that you're right. And, you know, the Impossible Burger and the Beyond Meat Burger, I was so excited when those came out because I don't eat red meat. And I missed that, like, burger.
Having a burger.
I just missed it. And I was the veggie burgers, and they didn't taste anywhere.
I used to be such a cranky person about veggie burgers. When you would get them at a restaurant, you'd read it on the menu, be like, veggie burger, ooh, or vegan burger. And then you'd squeeze it, and then it would all like squish out of the sides because it was like a bean patty. I was like, I don't want this. This isn't at all what I wanted. I would have rather ordered a side of beans, because that's exactly what I got right now, you know?
I know. I mean, what are your thoughts on the Impossible versus the Beyond Meat Burger?
I think... if they are, you know, helping people learn about eating plants and becoming a little less intimidated by plant-based food, then I'm all about them. I think they serve their purpose in helping people sort of bridge the gap between vegans and non-vegans, which is something I've been a proponent for all along when I've gotten into food. So I'm always for something that really is making it more accessible to everyone. I think that's also been a hard thing with vegan food over the years, is it has felt very untouchable. You know, you got to go to the special health food store, and you've got to get this, and you've got to get that. And that takes us to a whole nother category too, of like the vegan police, right? You've got the vegans out there, and I can spot them from, you know, a mile away. They come up to me like, well, that wasn't whole food plant-based, or well, that wasn't vegan, because, and it's like, listen, we're all doing our best, right? And that those types of people almost stopped me from being vegan in the beginning, because I would get so stressed out by it. I'd like go home and be like, well, I'm just going to put cow's milk on my cereal then, because this is like all too much for me. But then I started meeting some kind and compassionate vegans and got into really the world of it, where meeting people who are creating that and these impossibles and the beyond, and, you know, making it so accessible to people and fun for people and not so stressful. Like, that's the thing. Just, there's no stress to it. It's just delicious food. Like, that's where we're at in this world right now, is vegan food is just delicious food.
Yes. And I think that being, you know, taking things to the extreme and stressing out about it, it just doesn't make sense. So I've always been like, you know, tune into yourself, see what feels right. Just because you make a decision for a period of time doesn't mean you're stuck with it for life. Just give yourself, you know, give yourself a break, be kind to yourself. And that's actually something I struggled with in the past, because I was like, okay, I chose this one diet. Now I've got to stick to it. And I got to a point when I was like, well, why do I,
right.
Who's telling me to do that? It was all coming from myself. So then I loosened up that, a little bit on the restrictions I had placed on myself, to be like, okay, I'm going to see how I feel. And I think it's just starting with where you're at, and anyone who can add more plants into their diet, more whole foods into their diet, I think it is so, so smart. You know, it great anti-inflammatory powers. So good for our health, so good for our mental health, you know, adding in more fiber,
yes,
fruits and vegetables. You know, one thing I found with vegan foods, and some of it, you know, not all things are going to be considered healthy, right? Like, I love that there are options, but still some of the processed,
sure,
like vegan products, a lot of soy protein isolate and things that I would say, just like all other food, it's like, if you're going to have it here and there, don't have it be a regular thing, because, you know, some vegan food, just because it's vegan, it doesn't necessarily mean it's healthy. I mean, what do you think about that?
I loved it when I first went vegan. I lost like 10, 15 pounds, like fairly quickly. And then I found I was living in New York at the time, and I found a vegan bakery that was near where I was working. And suddenly I gained that 10, 15 plus back. And I wasn't feeling as good as I was. Like, when I first went vegan, my skin started looking better. I was glowing. I was sleeping. Everything was wonderful.
Yeah.
Then I started incorporating sugar and flours back into my diet, but almost like on a sort of regular basis. Because every other day I'd be like, oh, I'll get a muffin. Oh, I'll get a cookie. Oh, I'll get a cupcake. And then I was seeing the results of that again. So you've got to find the balance in it, right? There's still healthy foods versus unhealthy foods, you know, processed versus unprocessed, all that stuff still exists in the vegan world. And I think there's room for treats here and there. You know, I think people get, it goes again, when we talk about those extreme, people get so stuck on like, well, this is my diet and I must eat this way. And I think it's good to have a plan. I think it's good to have an idea of what your intake is every day and know, you know, what's a good amount to consume for what your needs are. But every now and then it's somebody's birthday and you want to have a piece of cake, right? Mm-hmm. So you should have a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I think moderation. And that's something that I've learned. And I think with my kids, even like when I first got into this like whole wellness world, I was so like against food coloring and everything. And I still don't like it, but
sure.
It was like, you can't have that.
Sure.
It has food dye. It has this. And I've gotten to the point where I'm like, all right, whatever. If you have it when you're at that party, not that we're having many parties these days, but it's okay. You know, I'm not stressed out about it.
Right.
So I'll let them, you know, have it every now and then. I've gotten much more relaxed with it. I think what holds a lot of people back from exploring being vegan is this idea that they have to take it 100% all the time.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Restriction. Yeah. And restriction and taking things away. Everybody has this idea that you're taking things away. My sister has for years now. I mean, I've been a vegan 11 years and she literally is just like, well, I just don't know how you do it. And I'm like, well, here's my first book. You can start there. I literally, in the book, I say, I wrote this book for my sister because she's always saying, I don't know how you do it. And I'm like, here it is. Look, I literally wrote it for you. But it's a matter of, you know, not limiting yourself to the extreme where you feel like, you just have to take it one step at a time, right? If that means meatless Mondays for you, if that means meatless Mondays and then, you know, meatless Wednesdays or whatever it is, like you just have to like take a step in that direction. So you're at least taking a step, a step, and it doesn't feel so much of a, you know, some people do it and just quit and go right into plant-based food and they're fine. Others need to like take their steps towards it. And I think whatever way you need to do it, and if it takes a year, if it takes a month, if it takes 3 years, 5 years, that's great. That's that person's journey. We are in a food system where most of us have grown up with meat and potatoes, you know, where that's where we learned what our diet was. And dairy was this very important thing for your diet. We're still growing out of that food system, right? So mm-hmm. it's going to take time for us to get to the place. I mean, but I think it's happening, you know, and 20 years from now, we've grown so much in just the last 5 years in the plant-based world. 20 years from now, I can't even imagine where we're going to be at. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, no, that's so true. You know, what I'm hoping we can do now, if you're up for it, I want you to share some of your favorite meals. You don't have to give the whole recipe, but like some of your favorite vegan meals for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then snacks. I'm hoping I can get like some real, you know, tangible recipes. And you just have, you're releasing a new book in May, right?
New book's coming out in May. Yeah. It's called Epic Vegan Quick and Easy. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm thinking if you could share some quick and easy examples of some of your favorite meals for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks.
Absolutely. Lately, I'll just kind of go on what I've been eating. Maybe lately I've been doing overnight oats like crazy for breakfast. I can't get enough of them. And I just do a half cup of oats and like 3/4 cup unsweetened almond milk and some berries and either like stevia on the raw or monk fruit or something like that for a sweetener, just a little like half teaspoon or teaspoon of flax and like a half teaspoon of chia. And then I shake it up and let it sit overnight. But that one's been a big one lately. Pineapple, I did a pineapple overnight oat the other day and I just kind of let it all just sit in its juices. And that was sweet enough on its own. I used to do when I was, not really paying attention. I turned 40 this month, so I'm really paying attention to like carbs and sugar and everything a lot more than I used to. Thank you so much. But so I used to do a Reese, I think it might be in my first book. It's like a Reese's peanut butter or peanut butter cup overnight oat or something. And that's vegan chocolate chips with peanut butter or nut butter of choice. And then some unsweetened almond milk. But I also love doing fruit in the morning. I don't worry about the sugars from fruit. I know that's different for everybody, but if I'm cutting other sugars out in my life, I feel actually fine about eating the sugars from fruit. That's for me. So I'll do a bowl of berries or a bowl of, you know, pineapple and berries, or I'll do an apple with some nut butter, that sort of thing. And of course I always, always love getting my greens in first thing in the morning. I'll do a handful of kale. And then I'll usually put in, I love a mango one, but I know I just said I don't worry about sugars and fruit, but mango is a little high up there. So I kind of like do a little bit of mango with a little bit of you know, like a half a banana or something. Just split the difference a little bit. But so a little sweetener from fruit, some kale, and then some unsweetened almond milk or non-dairy milk of choice. So that's breakfasts. Breakfast.
Overnight oats, yum. Do you ever do vegan eggs? That's where I've struggled with vegan eggs. I've tried to make some, but I've had a hard time with it.
Have you done the just egg yet?
Those actually I've relatively enjoyed. I've tried those. I've tried like a tofu version. The just eggs I felt like were closer.
Have you ever used Himalayan salt before? Himalayan black salt?
Ooh, I haven't done the black salt.
So it's called Kalanamic and it's a fantastic like sulfuric salt that tastes like egg. So you sprinkle just a little bit in there and then it's perfection.
Ooh, yeah. I'm excited.
So, so good. Yeah. And so that's one of my tricks to eggs. I have a great tofu scramble in my second book, Epic Vegan, that uses that. But also, it's a great tofu scramble on its own. You don't have to have that salt. That's sort of one of those exotic salts, right? So like that would be if you're like really digging deep into your... That's not just a vegan thing, though. That's a cooking thing. So like that's the other thing. It's not all crazy vegan spices. Like it's a cooking thing. So it's this... Himalayan black salt, tofu scramble, perfect. A little bit in your just egg as well. So, so tasty. Kalanamic is the actual name of it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so let's move on to lunch.
Lunches. Lunches, I try and do bowls as much as I can. So today I did a kale bowl, Yeah, I love it. It's a great way to get veggies in. I'm not a big fan of like super raw salads, so I tend to like do like a bit of like a half sweet potato with some kale, massaged kale, and then maybe some baked tofu. Listen, tofu, baked tofu to me is everything. I love to toss it with just a little bit of nutritional yeast, salt, pepper, Italian seasoning, bake it at like 425, 8 minutes, flip it around a little bit, bake it for another 8 minutes. You want to cook it from the inside out so it gets nice and done in the middle and puffy on the outside or crispy on the outside. You can do it in air fryer if you have it as well. Put it on like 370 and do the same thing, like 7 minutes and then 8 minutes. I like to add some really quickly steamed broccoli to it, some chickpeas or black beans, always a little shake of like some cashew parmesan. There's a great brand called Kelly's Croutons, and she's got the croutons, but she also has parmesan that she does with it as well. So I tend to do that for lunch, plus soup. I'm a big fan of soup. Even in the summer, I love soup. Soup is easy to make. Just put a pot on the stove with some veggies and let it, you know, simmer up a little bit and then either blend it or enjoy it as is. So soup and salad usually for lunch. Yeah.
Sounds delicious. It's very similar to what I like to do. I'm all about salads and yummy soups. There was like a pumpkin curry soup I've been having, which is so good. Oh my gosh.
Sounds so good and cozy. I like to too, what I'll do for my salads so that I don't have the same thing all week is I'll make little components, and it's like a batch meal prep. Essentially, I don't have my meals all portioned out and ready to go, but I'll have like my washed kale or spinach, and then I'll have like the baked tofu and then some like the sweet potato. I'll have them in separate containers so I can kind of like mix and match my bowls throughout the week as I go. And of course, avocado. Can't believe that wasn't the first thing I said. Like, just have avocados on hand and put them on everything.
Yes, I know. Avocado toast and all that.
Yep. Breakfast avocado toast, avocado, everything for lunch on your bowl. And then for dinner, you can make sauce even. You can make a pesto avocado pesto for your pasta.
Ooh, that sounds really good. Okay, so let's move on to dinners.
Sure. I've been obsessed with whole roasted cauliflower lately, and I've got one coming out in my new book that's so good with a tahini sauce on it. But I do like to have a little something, as long as I'm eating around like 5-6 o'clock and not eating at 9 at night or something, I like to have like a little pasta or something, but then I try and keep it always have, again, a lot of vegetables, and I make sure I eat those first. And then I move into like, I'll make a mac and cheese, or tonight I made actually like a tuna noodle with air quotes in the air, tuna noodle casserole. So I'll have that with a kale salad on the side. So it really is usually like something that's a little like hearty, mm-hmm. and then surrounded by vegetables so that I'm getting my vegetables in.
Okay. No, that sounds delish. And then any favorite easy snacks? It's probably like a bunch of what you've already mentioned, but wondering if you have any favorites.
I mean, snacks are hard, right? Because I still, my brain always still wants to go to like, oh, I'll have a cracker or I'll have a chip or something. So that's actually something I've been working on lately, with that 40th birthday approaching, as we discussed. A lot of fruits and a lot of vegetables. I always make sure we have apples on hand, bananas on hand, grapes on hand, raspberries on hand. Just in case, like I have a little, or cut cucumbers. That's a nice crispy thing to go to. But I'm not saying I never do, crackers or anything like that. Sometimes I'll make myself little like peanut butter or I love sunflower butter. So I'll have like Mary's Gone Raw crackers with like a little bit of sunflower butter on them. And you know, my husband is a big snacker, so he'll bring like pretzels and stuff in the house, which is very hard for me because I just want to eat them all. He's very good at moderation, but I'm like, can you just hide them away from me? Cause I want to eat the whole bag. So, you know, occasionally I have pretzels and stuff and different things. It all depends on where we're at and how we're feeling. You know, every week is different. You kind of set your intention for the week and it's going to be this or that. And then sometimes you get derailed because of, oh, I don't know, current world circumstances.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm just going to get some non-dairy Ben and Jerry's tonight and it's going to be okay. You know, not There's saying that may or may have not have happened in the last week, but I'm just saying things happen.
Yes. You know, I've been, when I have a dessert here and there, I've been loving the non-dairy mochi. I think that's how you say it. Mochi. Right.
You have no, it's like the staple thing in our house right now in terms of a sweet. Like it's our treat.
Oh, good.
Every few nights. Yeah. The caramel ones, so good.
Yeah, and they're, you know, it's small enough where
it's 100 calories for one, and you just set it out for 3 minutes and then ready to go. Yeah.
I mean, it has sugar, but it's like I said, in moderation here and there.
Right.
And I'm also a fan. I love dark chocolate. So it's kind of like I'll have a little bit of that.
We do too. We keep Theo bars in the fridge. So I'll have like a little bit of a square of one if I'm feeling the need for a little sweet. And then honestly, you know, you mentioned popcorn earlier. I've become really big on air popping popcorn and just dressing it up with different stuff around the house, like nutritional yeast or, you know, any sort of like that Kelly's croutons parmesan I talked about, or just having it with a little sprinkle of salt is still delicious to me too. And I, you know, I don't put oil on it or anything. And it's delicious. I love it. Popcorn's a big one.
Yeah, that sounds so good. And something I found too, like if I am craving something more like savory or salty, even if I love kohlrabi. So if I could slice up some kohlrabi, I also love like watermelon radishes. So if I have a vegetable like that, I can just slice that up and like sprinkle a little salt on it. And that kind of satisfies that desire. Yeah.
So good. There's got to be some people listening to us right now shaking their heads. Like, what are they talking about? And to those people, I want to tell you, it has been years of me getting to this point where I'm like, ooh, that sounds delicious. Okay. So I get where you're at right now and I support you. Okay. I understand.
I love it. Well, we are coming towards the end here. I'm hoping you can share some of your top, restaurants, or who knows, hopefully they're still open with everything going on. Or vegan food that you've kind of explored throughout your vegan roadie journey, because you've been all over.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, right? I know one of my absolute favorite ones is called No Bones Beach Club, and they have closed two of their three locations during all of this. But I believe their Chicago location, while they're not actually open yet, they still will have their brick and mortar when things return. So No Bones Beach Club in Chicago, fantastic. I love them. Shout out to Mackenzie DeVito. Love her. Upton's Naturals, actually also in Chicago, they have Upton's Naturals break room, and they also have products like seitan and all that stuff that you can get, but their break room serves this delicious food. It's called the break room, but it's actually a cafe you can go into and get food. Trying to think, here in Atlanta, there's a place called Dulce Vegan Bakery and Cafe that I've adored for the longest time. Always been one of my favorites. Asheville, there's Plant Food, I believe is the name of it. I've had some great stuff I love there. A smoked portobello steak that I absolutely love with the polenta cake that it comes with, if memory serves correctly. So many great places, and they just sort of keep popping up all over the place. There's speaking of burgers, going back to that, there's a place in Austin called Arlo's. It's a food trailer, and they've got the best vegan bacon cheeseburger you'll ever have in your entire life. You know, so there's lots of different kinds and different places popping up. A sandwich place in Salt Lake City called Bud's that I love. Yeah, gosh, I don't know. I could go on and on. Veg, of course, in Philadelphia. That's another good one. Oh my goodness. Yes. Anyway, yeah, it's great stuff.
Fun. Well, I'm looking forward to when I can start traveling again and exploring and eating tons of vegan cooking and going out to restaurants. I'm hoping you can share how everybody can find your cookbooks, how everybody can find you. I know you have a great podcast. You're doing cool stuff. So can you tell everybody how they can learn more from you if they'd like to?
For sure. Yeah. I have a podcast comes out every Tuesday. It's called Keep On Cooking. And it is exactly what it says. We're trying to get people to keep on cooking. With one cookbook every week, we go over a vegan cookbook and we talk to the author. We go through the book cover to back and just talk about the recipes and the inspiration for writing the book. So it's been fun to do that. That has its own Instagram at Keep On Cooking Pod. And then of course me, you can find at The Vegan Roadie on Instagram and veganroadie.com. And the books are available everywhere. You get books. There's the first book, The Simply Vegan Cookbook, the second one, Epic Vegan. And then you can pre-order right now, Epic Vegan Quick and Easy.
Fantastic. Well, this has been an absolute pleasure. I'm going to be getting some of that black salt for sure.
Yes, you have to.
Yes, this has been really fun. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a treat.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Live Greatly podcast today. You can learn more about me and Live Greatly at www.livegreatly.co. Make sure to check out my Instagram page at livegreatly_co. And please subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review if you enjoyed it. Share it with your friends and family. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential.